In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Esch, celebrating our 38th year on the air, America's longest-running radio food show. Hello, Mr. Esch.
Hello.
How are you?
Chef Esch.
I'm sorry, Chef. I should know this by now. Well, last week, for those of you that heard it, I'm sure you were very entertained as we got a lot of great positive feedback about our first ever KSRO chocolate chip cookie contest. We invited 14 bakeries to participate. Our producer rounded up cookies galore, and we had three judges, including you, John, sit here and taste chocolate chip cookies last Saturday. It was a tough chore, but you guys did great.
And they were all delicious. You know, there wasn't a loser among them.
There was one, but we won't mention that name.
Was it?
Yeah.
Did you think? Oh, I didn't think so.
Well, you're kinder than the other judges were. Well, 14 bakeries, and we did have a winner that we announced last week. And it was, and actually, why did we do this? Because about 25 years ago, 30 years ago, we had himself, Wally Amos, on the show from Famous Amos Cookies. And we had a great conversation. And the following year, we had Deborah Jane Sivier from Oakland, California, better known as Mrs. Fields. Uh-huh. We had her on the show. And 2 weeks ago, Wally Amos passed away at the age of 88 years old. Yeah. Plus, August 3rd was National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, and National Chocolate Chip Cookie Month is August. And we thought, let's do a chocolate chip cookie tasting. So the winner of the best chocolate chip cookie from the bakeries that we rounded up was Della Fattoria from Petaluma, California. And we want to congratulate and talk with the owner of that bakery and cafe, Alyssa Weber. Good morning, Alyssa.
Good morning.
Say hello to John Esch. I'm doing great.
Hi, John Esch.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm great.
So where did this cookie recipe come from?
Well, you know, it's a little bit unclear where this recipe originated from. As recipes go, I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure it probably started off with my mom, probably around in the early 2000s, and I think it's kind of evolved over the years with different pastry chefs changing little, you know, different things about it and to what it is today. But it just is a really simple recipe, just made with really good ingredients with a consistent method.
Now, you had mentioned to me when we chatted that somehow Martha Stewart kind of figured into this.
Well, that's a very funny story, because when you initially called me and let me know, I assumed it was an entirely different cookie. And it wasn't until after I spoke to Steve last night that I realized, oh my gosh, I better find out which cookie it was, because we didn't even know this was happening. We didn't know someone came and bought cookies. So we actually have 4 chocolate chip cookies. I kind of called Victoria, and we did a bunch of research. We talked to past pastry chefs. And so the other cookie that we do that is we've been making since actually 1984 was from Martha Stewart's first cookbook, Entertaining.
So you still still make that style of cookie?
We still make that style cookie. Many, many, many of them.
Okay. And is that the salted one?
No, it is not the salted one. So the salted one is the one you tried.
That's one.
I'm familiar with that recipe too, but that's a more of a traditional quintessential chocolate chip cookie.
Yes.
But with 4 different kinds of chocolate chips in it.
Oh. And so where did it come from? I'm sorry. What was
from my mom.
Okay.
So that was Kathleen, your late mom. That was her cookie.
Yeah, and then people change different things about it. Like, for instance, we use kosher salt in the recipe for the cookie because it melts better, but we use Maldon salt on top because it just has a different mouthfeel and everything.
Wow.
So do you still make the winner?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, that's from last week we got those. So that's
so it gets a little confusing, but
it is confusing because you mentioned that you also make the Martha Stewart cookie.
We do. It was a brown sugar crispy chocolate chip cookie.
So how would we know if we came to the bakery? We would just say, we want your mom's recipe, or
well, you would just talk to one of the, you know, the retail association. They would know exactly. Once you said, you know, oh, I want the one with salt, then, you know, And then we also sell that cookie in our freezer to take home and bake, too.
Oh, that's great.
I didn't know. So you could masquerade like, these are my homemade chocolate chip cookies.
Absolutely.
Send me two dozen.
Who doesn't do that? So that's what, now you've got the Martha Stewart style cookie. That's the crispy one, the kind of flat one and crispy.
Then you have
the one that we tried, which was the best of show here, was the Malden salt one. So that's two out of the four. What's next? So that's two.
So then we also do a flourless chocolate chip cookie, and we do a oatmeal caramelized chocolate nib cookie.
So now I'm trying to picture a flourless cookie. How can you have a flour?
It's made with almond flour for people who don't eat,
Got it.
Which was actually just kind of coincidental. We pretty much stick to our guns as far as dairy and gluten goes, We're kind of purists that way.
Okay.
Much to many people's chagrin.
So the almond flour one is a legitimate gluten-free cookie.
Mm-hmm. Just coincidentally. Some almond flour and cocoa make up the main
dough. Okay. Well, we would try that.
And then it has semi-sweet. Yeah.
So are all four of these cookies, if I came in today, I could get all four of them? Or
you could.
Unless they sold out.
Yeah.
And but maybe after the show, they will sell out.
Yeah.
So what is
so
the most?
Do you guys want to know?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you guys want to know the different chocolates that go into this cookie?
Yeah, sure.
It has white chocolate drops by Calibo, semi-sweet chocolate chips by also by Calibo, but Van Leer is the label, and then 64% chocolate drops, Cocoa Berry, and milk chocolate drops by Berry Calibo.
So it's all Calibo, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then we use this wonderful vanilla that's $400 a gallon by Nielsen Matthews.
Yeah.
We keep it downstairs in the office locked up.
It is expensive. You probably buy it by the gallon.
We do.
Gosh, can you imagine
and
that?
It's a real Madagascar bourbon pure vanilla extract,
It keeps it in one of those special. old abandoned Petaluma bank safes,
Good idea.
So Calibo, other people touted that they use Valrhona. Did you try both, and you like Calibo?
For this cookie, the Calibo is the thing. Okay. We use Valrhona and the pain au chocolat. Yeah, in our pain au chocolat, we use Valrhona.
Okay. Mm. What's the biggest seller out of the four?
Probably the brown sugar chocolate chip.
The brown sugar chocolate chip? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
And we sell them in bags of six. Oh. And we sell that dough in the freezer section, too. You're going to get a lot of stuff that we make in our freezer section.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Or, you know.
Do you?
I keep a log in my freezer at all times.
You do? Keep a log in your freezer at all times. Let me ask you something. Do you sell your brother Aaron's tart dough frozen?
We do.
Because, that's the one that I use. I make his recipe.
Oh, yeah?
I've made that forever. It appeared online. Salmon Nostrin, a chef, published her version of Aaron Weber's tart dough recipe years ago. And that's the one I use. And it uses creme fraiche and cream in it.
Huh. Well, I would have to make sure that is the same dough. But I'm not sure about that.
I'm sorry. I got off topic.
Yeah. But it's good. It's great to know that you can get a dough already done.
We have puff pastry dough, galette dough, tart dough, and then pâte sucré. Yeah, pâte sucré, pie dough, which is different than the tart dough.
Mm-hmm.
And the puff pastry is really handy. And pizza dough we sell in frozen.
So I should know this, but I don't. What's the difference between pie dough and pâte sucré?
The difference, well, hold on a second. Let's make Vicky answer that. Hold on.
Okay.
Right here. Our pastry chef's right here. Hold on.
Okay, great.
The difference between the tart and the pie dough. Oh, the tart and the pie dough.
Is this Victoria?
So the tart dough will be more of an enriched dough. It actually contains egg and a lot of sugar and butter. And so that's more of a creaming method. That's the pâte sucré versus the pie dough or the galette dough. Don't. that's just more of a simple dough. It's flour, butter, salt, sugar, and water. The difference between our galette dough and our pie dough, the pâte brisée, will be the butter. Our pâte brisée is almost 50% butter.
Whoa.
You want that one, right, John?
Yes.
I can't keep that straight either. I have to ask her constantly.
Yeah. That's
great. But you have both of those frozen, too, in the case?
We do. Uh-huh.
Okay. So, well, first of all, congratulations on the win. And I will mention, I think I'm looking at the ratings. Between number one and number two, it was an all Petaluma win, because in second place was one of the folks around the corner from you, and that's Stellino Pronto. They came in second. They came in second for chocolate chip cookies. So the top two were both from Petaluma. How about that?
I love it. We love those guys too. They're wonderful people.
We should talk to the city fathers, and Petaluma should become, in addition to the egg and chicken capital, the chocolate chip cookie capital.
Yeah. Maybe we can talk to the city fathers and mothers about that. So before we let you go, tell us about your expanded hours of the cafe. What are, because you were open certain days, closed certain days. What's your current regimen here?
So currently we are open Thursday through Sunday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay. Oh, no dinners yet.
No, we probably won't do dinners. We kind of figured out, you know, it's such a complicated agenda with baking bread 7 days a week, all the deliveries, farmers market. It was exhausting. Yeah. So we're just sticking with what we do best, which is breakfast and lunch and pastries and bread.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And flowers. We have a floral department now, too.
You've had that for a long time, though, haven't you?
Since COVID.
Last 2 years.
Yeah. And they're the most beautiful bouquets. They're unlike anything you ever see, you know, in the traditional markets, because you grow all of the flowers, don't you?
We grow a lot of flowers. Mm-hmm. I also go to farmers market every Thursday, and I have a grower that I work with down there who field grows all his flowers. And then I have friends that grow things. People bring stuff in. And then I flush everything out with, you know, things like leaves and branches from, you know, sequoia. But we try, it's kind of like it's a nonprofit sort of element of the business. It's just there for theater and beauty and...
You're kidding. They're expensive, though.
No, they're not. They're only $25 for a bouquet. No one, I mean, that is like...
And that's a generous bouquet.
I guess that's
a gift. We just want to keep them accessible so people can come in and afford them and enjoy them.
Alyssa Weber, owner of Della Fattoria, congratulations on your big chocolate chip best of show out of 13, including you, 14 professional bakers in Sonoma County. Also, the continued success at the cafe, open from 8 till 2 o'clock Thursday through Sunday. It's hard to find a better breakfast or lunch in Sonoma County for my money.
Oh, thank you, guys.
And your bread still is right there at the top. So congratulations to you and your brother, Aaron, and the great job you continue to do. And thanks for talking to John and me this morning.
Thank you guys so much. And we're so excited. Thank you.
Thanks, Alyssa. Take care. Back after this, and John Ash is up for another cookbook award. You'll hear about it next.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brian Kilmeade. Please join me for the Brian Kilmeade Show, now live weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
If we don't talk about it, how are we going to fix it?
On Sonoma County's FM News Talk, KSRO.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
Honey, we need to make reservations for Buckley for our vacation. He loves going to daycare at Paradise Pet Resorts. Let's see if they have room for boarding.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it makes it so much easier to leave him, knowing they'll take care of him like he's their own.
Paradise Pet Resorts will take great care of your furry family member. You get to go away, and your pet gets a vacation. See for yourself on the webcams. Just download the app and look at all those wagging tails.
Dogs are pack animals who don't do well left alone all day. They need plenty of mental and physical exercise, as well as lots of opportunities to play, sniff, explore, and socialize. Doggy daycare is a practical solution for keeping your dog stimulated, as opposed to chewing, digging, and barking when you're not home.
Pets prefer Paradise. Pet tested, pet approved. Book now for boarding and daycare. Paradise Pet Resorts in Rohnert Park in Santa Rosa. ParadisePetResorts.com.
Join Dr. Walter Tom for the latest procedures and trends in cosmetic surgery every Thursday on KSRO. If you've been wanting to refresh your look and aren't sure what to do, Dr. Tom and his team at Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery are here to help. Consistently voted best cosmetic surgeon in Sonoma County, you can trust Dr. Tom to help you look and feel your very best. Listen to Ask the Expert with Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery every Thursday at 12:30 on KSRO.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour. And I am thrilled to announce this, the International Association of Culinary Professionals 2024 award finalists have been announced. And the winners will be announced on Thursday, September 26th at the New York City College of Technology in Brooklyn, New York. These are better known as the Julia Child Cookbook Awards. John, you were awarded this Best of Show Cookbook in 1996.
Or Best Cookbook.
Best Cookbook of the Year.
Yeah.
And From the Earth to the Table. Yeah. And now you're back.
I'm back in
the single subject category for the Hog Island Book of Fish and Seafood Culinary Treasures from Our Waters. Congratulations.
Thanks. You know, you sent me that and I confused it with, because we were also nominated for the
James Beard Awards,
which we didn't win. And I thought, oh, this is just a rehash of that. So it'll be exciting. I hope we win. It's hard to imagine how they picked it as a single subject, because how many fish varieties are in there and seafood varieties and all of that kind of stuff. It's hardly a single subject, but oh well.
Well, I guess just the word seafood.
Yeah.
That's a single subject as far as they're concerned.
Yeah.
But regardless, it's interesting that this one kind of passed over the media outlets. They jumped on the James Beard Awards, mm-hmm. which was a couple months ago that you were nominated, but no one's mentioned the IACP, and that's a very prestigious.
It's the original.
So hopefully September 26th we'll be able to announce and have a crown for you to wear.
Yeah.
So good luck on
You're
that.
You're going to be gone September 26th.
Well, I will, but I'll read the news media.
Okay.
Wherever I am in the world, I'll find out if you want.
Okay.
And I'll text you a congratulations.
Okay.
Also, this is, by the way, Labor Day. For those of you that haven't checked that out, this weekend's a big grilling and entertaining for a lot of people. And you sent us two wonderful recipes, which we have already posted on the KSRO Good Food Hour website. I said, can you get us two recipes, John, that are easy to make?
Yeah.
A lot of bang for the buck. And these were the two you sent, and they are both great. The first is blueberries and French cream. It's a simple recipe, isn't it?
At the original John Ash & Company, we had this on the menu forever, and I tried to take it off, and people just screamed. And I tease about it. It's fresh blueberries and white Jello. I mean, it's not really Jello, but it's a gelatin mix. But it's so simple, and people can't ever figure out what's in it, you know. But it's the easiest thing in the world. You do need to make it ahead so that okay. it has a chance to set. But it's still my favorite dessert.
And do you use a mold of some type of?
You can, but you don't have to. I actually used to put it in a loaf pan and then take it out and slice it.
Well, the color photo you enclosed is beautiful.
Yeah.
And it looks like one of those high-end desserts at a restaurant, which it was at John Ash and Company. Yeah. But easy to do. It's gelatin, heavy cream, sour cream, and vanilla extract. That's it?
That's it.
Four ingredients.
Yeah.
And then the blueberries, a little sugar, lemon zest, cinnamon stick, a little red wine, and some mint.
Yeah.
And then plate it, and you unmold it, and there it is. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So a day before, overnight
you,
to let
you
this
want
set.
To do it, yeah, the day before, just so it sets up.
And the second recipe, and I will quote from what you said, it's a French apple tart. Quote, John Ash says, this just might be my all-time favorite dessert. It is the simple essence of sweet apples and crisp pastry with no distractions. We've all collected similar recipes over the years, but this is the best one I have ever made. If I need to make it even faster, I use defrosted frozen puff pastry instead of making the crust. But if you want to eat it in an hour or two after it comes out of the oven, that's important. And if you don't want to make your own puff pastry, you can go to Della Fattoria and buy this. And, of course, it is drop-dead gorgeous.
Yeah.
The caramelization along the edges and on top of the apples. So this is, again, and you always say, I'm not a pastry cook. I'm not a pastry cook. And this,
well, that's why I love these simple, these really simple ones.
And they're beautiful. And you put a little apricot jam over the top to glaze it
for
serving. So there it is. We have two great John Ash approved recipes for your Labor Day entertaining. They're posted now on the KSRO Good Food Hour webpage. Take a look at them.
News Talk KSRO on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Right now, there are buyers waiting for your home to come on the market. To help you navigate the busy summer market, meet the North Bay's newest mother-daughter real estate team, the Norman Home Team.
This is Allison Norman. When you work with the Norman Home Team, you get my nearly two decades of experience in all areas of residential real estate, including senior relocation, trust and probate, veterans, investors, and land. Stephanie brings valuable insight to help our millennial and Gen Z buyers.
I'm Stephanie Norman. I've worked in and around real estate for over 14 years. Now, as a licensed real estate agent, I can help our buyers and sellers through the entire transaction.
Picture this, a team with a wide range of expertise, a seasoned negotiator, and a tech-savvy millennial with a shared passion for real estate. For questions or to make a no-obligation appointment, go to AllisonNorman.com. The Norman Home Team at Keller Williams Realty, because two heads are better than one. DRE license number 0172-0334 and 0220-9237.
Ungaro & Sons, your home team. Ungaro & Sons makes it easy to get the answers and pricing you need instantly. When it's time to replace your HVAC system or water heater, you can now get an instant online estimate. Go to ungaroandsons.com and tap the online estimate button. Answer a few quick and simple questions, and you'll have an estimate right away. And now you can also order replacement filters for your HVAC system through the online store. Super easy. Ungaro & Sons is the only home services company in Sonoma County offering instant online estimates and an online store to purchase replacement filters for your HVAC system. Ungaro & Sons is making it more convenient than ever to maintain a healthy and efficient home environment with instant on-screen estimates and online replacement filter ordering. Check out the new store now at ongaroandsons.com and experience the future of home comfort shopping. Ungaro & Sons, your home team.
It's personal, and it's your choice. You've contemplated cosmetic surgery for a long time. Maybe it's cosmetic breast surgery, a reduction, lift, or augmentation. Or maybe you wanted smart lipo body contouring for a long time. Dr. Tom and his caring staff understand your concerns are personal and confidential.
It is personal. We take our time and walk you through the whole process. Our philosophy, you, the patient, are part of the surgical team. That's why we include you in the decision-making process.
How do I get started?
It's easy. Just call our office. Our wonderful surgical liaison will listen to your concerns and arrange for a virtual or in-office consultation.
Dr. Tom, you use local anesthesia for cosmetic surgery?
Yes. Local anesthesia is safe and well-tolerated by our patients. You can actually have breakfast the day of your surgery, and you will appreciate the quicker recovery with less discomfort.
Voted best cosmetic surgeon of Sonoma County 8 years in a row. Call Dr. Tom for a complimentary consultation online at drtomcosmetic.com.
I'm KSRO's Daniel Trucios with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Sunny today at a high of 83 in Santa Rosa, 64 on the coast, maybe mid to high 80s for the warmer areas. Wind speeds under 10 miles an hour, cloudy tonight, low 52 degrees. 80 then for tomorrow with sunny skies, 64 at Bodega Bay. Monday then in the mid 80s, mid 60s on the coast and sunny. Depend on weather every 30 minutes. And FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9. KSRO.
It's the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. And by the way, if you have not heard, you are going on another wonderful culinary cruise, aren't you?
Yes, to one of my favorite places in the world, Alaska.
Yeah, and you're a veteran of going to Alaska, yeah, aren't you?
Yeah, and on this cruise line, Oceana, because what they have is I'll be teaching a class and doing little special events. And the great thing is that their classes are hands-on. So they actually have a kitchen set up so that people have to do it with me. What, rather than watching me just do it, who cares? You know, you learn so much by doing it yourself.
Absolutely. But, well, you'll probably miss not being able to fish on this cruise.
I will.
Because you went salmon and halibut fishing, didn't you, every summer
for a long time. It's sort of the end of the season up there when we go. It's next year.
Yeah.
2025 in September.
It's not this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And but if you sign up now, there are all kinds of little tweaks and prizes and stuff like that.
So I think you met a couple folks at the Total Wine and More in Santa Rosa, didn't you, just last week or so?
Yeah.
So that was really good.
That was my first, actually, it was my first time to be in Total Wines and More. It's an amazing store.
Pretty mind-blowing, yeah, isn't it? They've certainly changed the landscape of wine and liquor and beer sales here in the county since they came up here. So that's great. And you're going to do more of these, aren't you, in the coming months and certainly
well,
into 2025?
Well, if I can keep it together.
Oh, sure you can. No, it sounds like a great cruise. And Oceana is a top-notch cruise line.
Yes.
So folks can certainly find out more information. We'll give that the people way to find out about more. So we have a wonderful cookbook that we just got in the mail last week, and it weighs, would you say, 5 pounds?
Yeah.
It's heavy.
It's a book.
It's called Baking in the American South, and it's 200 recipes and their untold stories by Ann Byrne. Now, you may not know the name Ann Byrne, may not ring a bell, but let me tell you about her. She's a New York Times bestselling food writer and cookbook author based in Nashville, Tennessee, where she learned to cook and bake as a child alongside her mother, Bibi. And every holiday, shared with her large extended family of cousins, offered infinite opportunities to bake. So for 15 years, she was the food editor of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, great newspaper. Also attended La Varenne École de Cuisine in Paris, receiving a certificate. But while raising 3 children and cooking for a busy family, she embraced some shortcuts and wrote the bestseller, The Cake Mix Doctor. Mm. And I remember when this came out.
I don't remember.
In 1990. This is the 25th anniversary of that book from 1999. I have a copy at home.
Do you? Oh.
one of Southern Living Magazine's top 100 cookbooks of all time. And here's the mind-blowing thing. As of this moment, it has sold more than 3 million copies worldwide. Pretty astounding. She also is the author of Baking in the American South, American Cake, and Skillet Love. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
So, this new book, which kind of, for me, encapsulates, as a Southerner and as a baker, most all the greatest hits of what we associate with Southern baking. And that is very homey, delicious.
And simple.
And simple baking.
They're not complicated. You know, you have to laminate the dough and do all of that kind of stuff. I don't even know what that means. But, you know, the simplicity of it, which is the hallmark, I think, of Southern baking.
Yeah, absolutely the hallmark of Southern baking. It has over 200 recipes. And for those of you that want easy, approachable, delicious desserts from probably the region that she states is probably the oldest region in America that had a very strong, even kind of French-inspired cuisine, was Charleston, South Carolina, way before New England, Boston, New York. Charleston was already elevated as far as the cuisine. So the southern, to me, area of the country set the standards for great baking.
Well, and it's because the societies there were agrarian, they were farm-based. They had so much to work with. You know, they were encouraged, and the weather was good, so things were available all year round, or most of the year. But it is, I want to say, I think I said this to you, if you were going to buy a book for your own baking exploration, or to give to somebody who is just learning to bake, this is the book.
Yeah, and it encapsulates baking from all the 14 southern states. And here's what I thought was a great opening line in the introduction. She said, these recipes are culled from department stores, cafeterias, tea rooms, boarding houses, historic
quilting
homes. Yeah. Cooking clubs, church cookbooks, synagogues, restaurants, farms, mills, pastry shops, catering kitchens, home kitchens, and even from the White House.
Yeah.
Which was quite remarkable. One of the recipes featured the cook chef for Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Yes, wasn't that fascinating?
It's very moving.
Yeah.
That Lady Bird hired this cook in 1962 when Lyndon was governor of the state of Texas. And when he became president, they moved her to the White House. And she became the cook of the White House for years and traveled, unfortunately, not with Lyndon Johnson, as we know what happened in the 60s. She couldn't stay in the same hotels. Outrageous, of course. And it,
because of Jim Crow.
Because of Jim Crow. And it states here emphatically that one of the reasons that Lyndon Johnson was encouraged to get the Civil Rights Act passed was because of his respect for his White House cook.
Because she had a great name.
Zephyr
White.
Zephyr White. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah. W-R-I-G-H-T.
Yeah.
And not that that was the only reason, but it was another impetus for Lyndon Johnson to level the playing field. So that story is very inspiring and in the book. It starts off with sizzling cornbread. There's all kinds of great recipes. Many of these I have made before. Martha White's, who sponsored the Grand Ole Opry.
Well, I learned so much here. I love cornbread, and I'm certainly not an expert. You've made cornbread forever. But I didn't know. It's like masa harina, which is used to make tortillas and things like that, can also be used to make cornbread. I thought, that's something else. I don't have to just do Mexican. I can.
Well, when you think about cornbread, as you pointed out, it was a bread of poverty.
Yeah.
You couldn't get fine, high-quality, refined wheat. People did what they had, make do. There's about 15 or 20 different great cornbread recipes in this chapter, including, not only, as we mentioned, from the Grand Ole Opry, but also Craig Claiborne, the New York Times food editor for years. He was from Mississippi. his recipe is in here also. Mm-hmm. So there's some very refined upscale cornbread recipes, and there's, of course, real down to home. I think the most upscale one, she didn't give this recipe, but Tom Gray at his restaurant sears his cornbread, John, in duck fat before serving at his higher end Southern restaurant. The next one is, of course, biscuits. Hot biscuits.
Yeah, so you can talk forever about biscuits.
I can, and I won't, because the listeners would be surfing for another channel to listen to. But one of our favorite chefs, who she spends a lot of time talking with biscuits, is Stella Parks, who is from Kentucky. And she's legendary in the world of biscuits. And there's a great tutorial that Stella shares some of her secrets for her award-winning biscuits. There's also biscuits from... We had this chef too, Scott Peacock, on the show, who did a great cookbook with Edna Lewis. His fabulous buttermilk biscuits are there too. There's Dory Sanders. There's
Natalie Dupre,
who we've had on the show. Yeah. Mama Depp is there. And of course, we cannot forget Shirley Corrier.
Yeah.
One of our favorite interview people of all time.
We have to get her on again.
We need to get Shirley back on. She's written some best-selling cookbooks and baking books, and she is a scientist. She's a PhD in chemistry, John. Remember this? Mm-hmm. So she really approaches all cooking with the scientific mind. And her just angel biscuits, the lighter-than-air angel biscuits, that recipe is in here too. So the good thing about the book is you don't need to buy separate cookbooks from many different authors. The best of these authors is included in this cookbook.
It is. And again, they're simple. They're not difficult. They don't require, you know, a special pan or utensil or oven or something like that.
The next one is quick loaves, griddle cakes, waffles, and fritters. Well, any of those would do fine for me. And there's also muffin recipes in here too. There's Poppy Tookers. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
She is pretty much the queen of New Orleans broadcast media. And we have the pleasure of talking with Tookie. I bet someone's called her Tookie. Poppy Tooker, every pre-Mardi Gras on the show. And her recipe for Kalas is in here, which is
a rice,
sugar, flour, and leavener, which is very, very famous. That recipe is in here, too. We'll continue on with the cookbook right after this break. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour. Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner, we're highlighting a brand new book. It's going to be released this Tuesday.
Get it.
September 3rd.
Book.
Yeah. Baking in the American South, 200 Recipes and Their Untold Stories by Ann Byrne.
The Ramsey Show, Saturday and Sunday afternoons, 3 to 6 on KSRO, is brought to you by Cobran Financial. Can you retire? Find out with Cobran Financial.
Chernoff Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa has been taking excellent care of patients for over 30 years.
There's such a difference between doing things to people and taking good care of patients. And I've been blessed in my practice to be surrounded by people who know the difference.
Dr. Chernoff likes to use the term your natural best when advising patients on what procedures to have.
Our nicest compliment is always to create their aesthetic improvement such that no one ever knows that they've had it done. And that means creating a natural appearance, never a done appearance, never a pulled appearance.
He not only trains doctors and nurses nationwide, but also ensures his staff receives training to the same high standards.
I am proud to be referred to as a pioneer in the field of aesthetics because we have been deeply involved in the research and development of many techniques, both non-surgical and surgical.
Check the specials and services at ChernoffCosmeticSurgery.com.
Agricultural Community Farmers Markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week year-round.
Petaluma has two farmers markets open for the season. The East Side Market at Lucchese Park Tuesdays from 10 to 1:30 and Walnut Park Saturdays from 2 to 5 p.m. Get your proteins. Chicken, lamb, and beef are available from the local farmers and ranchers, including Betha Springs Ranch in Petaluma. Get Petaluma cheeses from Acadena Cheese. Pick up baked goods from Redbird or Bedstone Bakery. Seasonal vegetables from Sonoma County local Ortiz Family Farm. Stone fruit from Winters. Have lunch or dinner from Tacos Don Pepe with vegan options. Buy Thai boba tea, and you have to try Belfair's award-winning chicken sandwich. You'll also find fresh honey, local artisans and crafters with candles, jewelry, and so much more. Order online for curbside shopping service. More info at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
At American Ag Credit, we're pleased to return a portion of our profits to our customer owners with cashback payments totaling more than $1.2 billion since 2005. That's a difference maker for customers like Fred Klein of Klein Family Sellers.
The patronage cashback has been an incredible thing for us, and it really makes a difference in our bottom line. You know, you just don't get that with other banks.
For more information, visit agloan.com/growyourfuture. American Ag Credit, your future grows here.
Reed's Trailer Sales is immediately liquidating all remaining new inventory of 2024 Cougar and Hideout travel trailers and fifth wheels at or below cost. Reed's will continue to offer used travel trailers, fifth wheels, and utility trailers. Stop by and see our huge inventory of park model trailers, tiny homes, and ADUs on display at Reed's Trailer Sales in Petaluma.
You should buy your trailer at Reed's.
Reed's Trailer Sales.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. And we're talking about a wonderful new book called Baking in the American South, 200 Recipes and Their Untold Stories. We've been talking about Southern baking for 38 years, mm-hmm. America's longest-running radio food show. And author Ann Byrne is joining us because she's there in the South. Yeah. She's the author of Baking in the American South, 200 Recipes and Their Untold Stories. We've worked our way down to the rolls, breads, and yeast-raised cakes section. John and I have reviewed the first few sections of your book. Ann, thanks for joining us this morning.
Oh, it's great to be here. Sorry about the telephone delay.
That's okay. We have rolls, breads, and yeast-raised cakes. We've worked our way down to that section. John, any of those that you want to highlight?
Well, you include lots of history, too, which is really interesting. And you made the comment in the book that bread baking came late to the South, that it was not part of Southern tradition. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, definitely. You know, corn grew easily in the South. So, you know, everyone would could have a little plot of corn planted, you know, behind their house, and they would either grind it themselves or send it to the mill. But wheat was a completely different matter. And, you know, wheat was just not work. It didn't work in the hot South, and we didn't have the flat plains needed to grow wheat. So white flour, wheat flour to make rolls or to make bread was a luxury. And if you look at a lot of the early New Orleans recipes, I mean, they're importing wheat from France for those recipes. It just wasn't something that Southerners, most Southerners, had access to. And for that reason, it did kind of, it came later, and it came with regional flours and also what I like to call big flour, you know, when the Gold Medal or General Mills all came and barged that flour came down the Mississippi River. So for that reason, it you know, the South was a bit slow to get into bread baking.
You mentioned earlier in the book that white lily, which is a flower, a brand of flower, mm-hmm. is really a Southern tradition. It's different.
Very much so, because when wheat did grow in the South, it had to be harvested in the spring before the hot weather and the bugs set in. So the type of wheat that could grow was a softer flour. It was a lower protein flour, less gluten. And so it was perfectly designed for the biscuits and the soft yeast rolls of the South. It did not handle up well, you know, in something like making French bread. It didn't have the protein or the structure for it.
On to the next chapter, comforting puddings. And I don't think I've seen a more delightfully named recipe than Eddie's Crying Stopper Pudding. Talk about that for a moment.
Right. Well, you know, the pudding chapter is one of my favorites in the book because it's got everything from a sherry trifle to flan to this natilla, which is, you know, we've got this wonderful chef, Eddie Hernandez, who has cooked out of Atlanta and out of He's got restaurants in Athens, Georgia, and he's just wonderful. But he used to make some of this natilla, which is more of a Mexican style of pudding, and it's made with cornstarch and whole milk, half and half sugar, and a cinnamon stick and vanilla. And so he would make this. He grew up on this. This is what his grandmother made him. And so when he started having restaurants, and families would come in with these crying children or fussy children, he would make natilla and keep it in like the back and keep it chilled in the walk-in. And so he told the servers, you know, if anybody's fussy and is, you know, bothering everybody, just go get them some natilla. So we started calling it Crying Stopper.
Well, I love how you nicknamed this pudding a pudding pacifier.
Yeah.
That was really wonderful.
So you included clafoutis in this chapter also. Can you talk about what that is?
Yes, exactly. Well, it's a French pudding. I would like to say it's definitely in the puddings of the world. And you know, it's something, you know, you would think maybe a French grandmother would make. It's a cross between, I'd say, a Dutch baby and a custard. Because, you know, it's baked to use up whatever fruit is in season, whether it's cherries or peaches, whatever is in season, a clafoutis. And it does have that little bit of flour to it, so it gives it that structure like a Dutch baby. So it's not as jiggly and egg custardy as some puddings are. It's a little bit more firm. And that's why fruit does so well in a clafoutis. And in this recipe, I used fig and lemon to really kind of salute figs, because they're a big part of Southern baking.
Well, I put a big star next to that because it's fig season here and lemon season here.
Perfect.
I'm going to make it.
The next chapter is plain. There's plain and fancy pies. And this is probably about my favorite chapter because John and I have done pie recipe contests on the show for the last 35 years. I like what you wrote, Ann. You said pies are made for people who have work to do.
Yeah, very much so. I think it was the Pennsylvania Dutch. She said there were either pie people in the world or cake people in the world. And the cake people like to sit around and have silver forks, you know, and spoon and talk about the texture of a cake. But the pie people are just too busy. I mean, they want a slice and they got to go back to work.
To our knowledge, maybe, of course, we don't know everything else that's going on in Food Talk Radio around the country. But I think we're the only ones that have ever done an official chest pie tasting on the air.
Ten different
chest pies were submitted for our perusal, and I'm so glad to see your love and respect for the chest pie.
Oh, I grew up on chest pie, and our chest pie in Middle Tennessee is quirky and unique because it contains vinegar and cornmeal.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't always find that in chest pies. Yeah.
So thank you for including a number of chest pies. from all different venues. And I grew up, by the way, in Kentucky. So chest pie was very, very important in my early upbringing. First experiencing it in third and fourth grade at our cafeterias, our elementary school lunch ladies made chest pie.
Well, it was inexpensive to make.
To make.
So you have, in the book, you include 7 tips for a beautiful pie crust. Can you talk briefly about those?
Yes, I think pie crust, you know, they're a lot like biscuits in a way that you don't want to overwork the dough. And so I would, you know, and I think you need to use as low a protein flour as possible in making the pie crust. If you can let the pie crust sit and chill ahead of time, chilling it allows the flour to hydrate and relax. And just work light and fast. Try to get the pie crust chilled before it goes into the oven so it keeps its shape and it doesn't shrink back. And as far as like what fat to use, I mean, butter's the most delicious and frozen butter is the easiest to work with in the dough. So you can grate it right into the dough. And I think a last tip is that you get better at making pie crust the more you make pie crust, don't you?
That's for sure. The next chapter is Bake Me a Cake, and I have to mention the chocolate moonshine cake. this tip that you gave, I've never read anything like this. You say add 2 tablespoons of instant pudding mix that a pastry chef told you that it's a trick to keep your cake fresh for a week.
Completely.
Have you tried this before, Ann?
Yes, I have tried that. And, you know, and that trick I have seen online. you know, when I was Brian knows recipe and he's just great. And he was, you know, opened the Red Truck Bakery in Virginia for many years and recently sold it. But that's his trick for in the bakery setting to be able to make that cake, add a couple of tablespoons of instant pudding to it. It keeps it fresher. It's the starch in the instant pudding. And since then, I've seen it online a lot of the tricks some pastry chefs use. They don't, yeah. And, you know, as a home cook, you can definitely do it. I have done it if I want to bake ahead like 3 or 4 days and say you've got a fancy occasion. I remember there was a family reunion, but I wanted to go ahead and do some baking. And to those cakes, I added a couple tablespoons of instant pudding mix.
Unbelievable tip. The next chapter is the cookies and bars by the dozen.
Yeah.
All kinds of just fabulous cookies. The last next chapter, that contained... Oh, you know, that's my mother's chess cake. I have never tried to make chess cake. You swear by it, huh?
I love it. It's similar to a blondie, but we grew up and we called it chess cake. It has the same kind of look and taste as maybe as a chess pie. But I think everyone else would know it as a blondie, but we always had pecans in it, finely chopped toasted pecans. Yeah.
And thank you for including a... deep dive into the famous Derby Pie in Louisville, Kentucky, which we can't say Derby Pie on the air, but we aren't going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And that you have transitioned, as I have, by the way, to Derby Pie bars. I no longer do pies. I do bars.
I love them. And I love to just, you know, double a pie recipe, bake it in a half sheet pan, and then cut it into bars. And it essentially is a slab pie, and it's easy to serve. Yeah.
Well, we've just touched the surface on this, 400-plus page book, Baking in the American South by 200 Recipes and Their Untold Stories. Anne Byrne wrote it, and she is a legend in the world of baking and in writing cookbooks. Thank you for joining us, and we're going to make one listener very happy, Anne. We're going to give away a copy of this book. Would you please give us your favorite number today between 1 and 12?
1 and 12. How about 7?
Caller number 7 at 636-1350 will win a copy of this amazing book, Baking in the American South, 200 Recipes and Their Untold Stories. It's not going to be published until Tuesday, so you can come in following Labor Day to the front office and pick this book up. And Anne, thanks so much for joining John and me.
Oh, thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Pleasure to be talking with you. Take care. Next week, we'll be here and we'll be tasting apples.
Good.
You ready to taste some apples?
Yeah, because it's the crescendo of the apple season, huh?
Crescendo's coming up. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Stick around following the news. Clark Wolf at the table.
The place where tradition meets innovation. A place where every baker, from beginner to pro, is part of a thriving community. Welcome to Central Milling's Artisan Baking Center in Petaluma, where this beautiful facility is more than just a state-of-the-art baking facility. It's a hub for lifelong learning and skill mastery.
With world-class instructors in a variety of classes tailored to all skill levels, you'll find the perfect fit, whether you're just starting out or refining your craft. And right now, use the coupon code BAKE15 to get 15% off any in-person class.
Artisan Baking Center is not just a baking facility. It's the farmer, the miller, and the baker all working together to preserve America.